you're a guest with us today, I just want to welcome you. I am Bert, the pastor of this fine group of folk, and I hope you've been enjoying your morning with us so far. I'm so glad that actually that you're here with us today, because you see, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe God had brought you here, or has brought you here, for a reason, today. So I want to challenge you. Come back again if you don't figure that out today to find out what it is. What is that reason that you brought me here, God? God said this through one of his ancient preachers named Jeremiah. He said, I know what I am planning for you. It's God's planning things out for you, says the Lord. He says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. Anybody want a good future? Okay, you masochists that didn't put up your hand, okay. You like groveling in your pain? Anyways, he wants to give you a hope and a good future. So, I believe God led you here for a good reason. It was part of his plan to bring good into your life. It might even be because of the focus of this talk today. Maybe you're the type of person who takes things too personally. And if you're offended by me saying this, then it's definitely the reason you're here. You see, too many people get too offended by too many things today. It's a lot of twos, folks. But what makes absolutely no sense to me is how some people get offended by things that have absolutely nothing to do with them. They get offended by things that they think should be offending someone else, even if those people aren't offended. Then they get offended by those people not being offended by what they should be, think they should be offended by, right? You know, and here's an example. I watched a report just recently of how the Washington Commanders, American football team, is being sued by the family of the chief whose image used to be on their helmets when they were called the Washington Redskins. You see, some lobbyist group took offense to the name and the image, even though they themselves were not Native Americans. A spokesperson for the family that's suing them, the team, said that the team, when it was being pressured to change their name and their logo, never once did they consult the family, who saw it as an honor to have the image of their grandfather, their great-grandfather, on those helmets. You know, the thing is, folks, when someone personally offends you, that's hard enough, isn't it? Who wants to go through that for somebody else? What we need is to be bigger than the things that might offend us. And the Bible says that takes something that's called growing up. Matthew was an original follower of Jesus and an eyewitness of the things he said and did. And in his account, he actually records Jesus addressing this issue and teaching the following. In a word, Jesus said, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subjects now. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. So Jesus says that grown-ups live generously and graciously towards others. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means don't be immature in how you deal with people. When we were infants, who was it all about? Me. Everything was about me. Feed me, Seymour. You know, feed me, clothe me, wipe my bottom, whatever needed to be done when we were infants. Our parents had to teach us to say please and thank you. Why? Because we were self-centered. We needed to be taught how to be considerate towards others. One of the early church leaders, a guy named Paul, who started a lot of churches in the nations around the Mediterranean Sea, I want you to listen to what he wrote to the church that was in the city of Ephesus in Greece. He said, "No prolonged infancies among us, please. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love." So just like we saw Jesus saying, Paul says God wants us to grow up. And if we're still acting childish and infantile, it means that our character development has been stunted. Paul says that Jesus is our example and our standard for what our character and maturity should be like. And how is that? Healthy in our relationship with God and robust or full of love for others. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church that was in Corinth, also in Greece. He said, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways." Paul says, yes, there's a season of life. Back when he was a child, when acting childish was the norm. You're a child. How else are you supposed to act, right? You act childish. But when he grew up, being childish was no longer acceptable behavior. He put on his big boy pants and learned how to handle offense and unfairness. He had taken control over his hurts, his hang-ups, and his habits. He had learned to deal with the good, the bad, and the ugly that can happen in life. That's what a mature character looks like. That's what God wants us to grow into. So today I'm going to share three things that the Bible tells us will help us to grow up in this area of our character development. These three things will help us to grow what I call a thick skin and a soft heart. Now, if you're here or watching online and you're not sure yet about whether all this God stuff is real or whether the Bible can be trusted as his word to us, that's okay. I believe that if you are honest, you will find out the truth. And God will help you discover who he is and the truth of his word to you. Because the Bible doesn't just show us God, but it's also full of guidance for really just good plain living, folks. Common sense stuff, which makes sense because if God created it, then his word should help us to live better lives. Right? Make sense? And this is especially true in the area of having a good character. Because if you're so sensitive that you're easily hurt or offended, then it's time to grow up and really develop some calluses. You need thicker skin. Because if you don't, then the repercussion is that you'll develop a harder heart. You'll become bitter and resentful, and to be honest, not a lot of fun to be around. Life will suck. Joy will vanish. Peace of mind will be trampled down by anger and insecurity and fear. You'll become lonely and isolated because nobody will want to be hanging around you. Does that sound like the kind of life anybody wants? Anybody want that life? No. Of course not. No one wants that, right? So let me suggest that you take these three points to heart today and just see if these simple suggestions won't help you experience a better life as God promised to those who follow his word. First thing we need To grow a thick skin and a soft heart is to learn, is to overlook offenses. Overlook offenses. Now, Solomon was the third king of Israel and is considered the wisest person in all of antiquity. The Bible actually says that God blessed Solomon with a special gift of wisdom. And Jesus is recognized as the only person to have surpassed Solomon's wisdom, because really, he gave Solomon a portion of his, right? It makes sense. Jesus was God come in the flesh. That's what Emmanuel means that we say every Christmas, God with us. So I guess, yeah, he gave Solomon what he had out of what he was and is. At any rate, Solomon was still pretty wise, and he wrote down many wise sayings called Proverbs, which are instructions about life and about godliness. Here's one of his Proverbs. Listen to this. A person with good sense is patient. That means towards people, right? We're patient with people. And it is to his credit that he overlooks an offense. Folks, I can tell you the last thing you want is for an offense to stick. You don't want it to stick. Offense is ugly. Otherwise, it wouldn't bother us, right? So why would you ever want to hang on to an offense? You need to take a lesson from the humble duck that we saw in the picture a second ago. Have you ever heard of the saying, like water off a duck's back? Yeah. That's because duck feathers are coated with a special oil, right? That helps repel the water. For that reason, water droplets quite literally roll off the duck's back. You know, when Jesus was starting his ministry on earth, he defined his mission by quoting the words of God's ancient preacher named Isaiah. Isaiah's words were actually a prophecy God gave him of Jesus' ministry, how his ministry would be. And this was nearly 700 years before Jesus was even born. The Greek historian and follower of Jesus, Luke, wrote that Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's quoting Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, oppressed will be set free." Jesus said he was anointed, right? By the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit that we find in the Bible, the third member of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm going to need you to follow along with me for a moment, why I'm even here talking about this. It says Jesus was anointed, right? In God's ancient temple, way back when, thousands of years ago, before the high priest could offer the sacrifices to the people, part of the preparation process was for him to be anointed with olive oil as a symbol of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit being upon him. And the retiring high priest is one who would typically pour that oil over his head. Just dump it on him. So Jesus says that he was literally, though, not just anointed with oil, but with the oil of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the third person of the Trinity. Now, as I was studying this, I discovered something I think was pretty cool. I hope you do. Otherwise, it's a waste of time telling you this. Because this all relates to the idea of water off a duck's back, okay? Here's what I mean. When you actually go back to Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus, this is the next thing we actually read in that portion, what he says next. Isaiah says, "He sent me to give them flowers in place of their sorrow, olive oil in place of tears, and joyous praise in place of broken hearts." Did you catch that? Isaiah says that when Jesus comes, he will give us oil in place of tears, so our tears run away, run right off. The oil Jesus gives us displaces our tears, just like oil on a duck's back displaces the droplets of water on its back. That's why we, as Jesus followers, are able to overlook offenses. Because the oil he gives, the Holy Spirit in us, helps us. It really causes, he causes those offenses to simply run off us. Isn't that cool? I think that's so cool. What's the oil he gives his followers? Holy Spirit, right? Same Holy Spirit. Luke also wrote about this in the history of early church called the Book of Acts. He said, while he, Jesus, was still with them, he said this, don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait here for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, just as I told you he's promised to do. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So not just a pouring over the head, but a dunking. Complete immersion of the Holy Spirit. So when you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and receive him as Savior and leader of your life, Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And as you surrender your will to him, to his will, he baptizes you, empowering you to be his witness to the world of what he's done in your life and who he is to you. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not so you can go out and do a bunch of fun things, but so you will be my witnesses, he says. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that was their context, right? He still baptizes his people in the Holy Spirit, filling them to overflowing, submerging us in the power and the reality of God's Spirit. In our local context, in Devon, in Alberta, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So the same Holy Spirit that empowers you to talk about Jesus to others also enables you to not get hurt or offended by any harsh words that might come from those people. I think that's cool. Maybe it's a waste of time saying that. But anyways, I think it's cool. And it's why, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we also grow in our character, right? So that we're not as bothered by the things that people say to us or about us that would typically cause offense or offend us, right? So that's the first thing. Not easily offended, folks. Second thing that helps us to grow a thick skin and a soft heart is to learn to operate short accounts. Operate short accounts. The only way I know how to keep a short account with people is to forgive them and move on. Forgive them and move ahead. I believe that nothing hardens our hearts faster than unforgiveness. The thing is, because we're all human, everyone's human here, right? I thought that might get every hand, but I guess not. You will, folks, make mistakes. You'll make mistakes in your relationships, and so will I. That means you will hurt somebody. You'll hurt others, and they will hurt you from time to time. That's why forgiveness is so important if we want any of our relationships to last and to grow. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, which was in modern-day Turkey, for all you who have your map out, he said this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. He gave you your offenses, your sins, so you must forgive others. Forgive anyone who offends you, he says. That doesn't sound optional to me, folks. If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to listen to this. If you hold any unforgiveness to anyone, you are being disobedient and sinful. And that's a scary place that you don't want to be. Because Jesus makes a pretty startling statement about this once he made this. He said, if you refuse to forgive others, what's the rest of it? Your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I don't want to get into all the intricacies of what this could mean, but suffice it to say, folks, you don't want to go there. Don't go there. Remember, forgiveness hardens your heart. Yeah, it hardens it towards people first, that person. But as it grows harder and harder, it's going to become hard towards God. But even now, at this moment, you can say a prayer to God, forgiving that and releasing that person. Maybe somebody came to your mind while I was talking. That person that hurt you. You can forgive them and release them into God's judgment and care right now. Forgiving and releasing that person. And then you can confess your own need for forgiveness for holding that unforgiveness against them. You know, John was perhaps the closest friend and follower of Jesus. This is what he wrote to the early church. He said, folks, God is faithful. He probably didn't say folks, but God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, he forgives us. He forgives them and cleanses us from everything we have done wrong. Now, forgiveness. There's a lot of misconceptions. I deal with them all the time, people in the church even. So let me just give you three quick little tidbits here, okay? Three quick things that forgiveness is not, and then three quick things of what forgiveness is, okay? First, forgiveness is not demanding a person change before we forgive them. Okay, doesn't work that way. Forgiveness actually has nothing to do with the person who offended you. It has everything to do with you. They may or may not even care about how you feel. But either way, you still need to forgive them. If you want to be free from the hurt that they've caused you. Forgiveness is not demanding a person change before you forgive them. Secondly, forgiveness is not pretending it doesn't matter and trying to forget about it, you know, sweeping it under the rug. There's no such thing as forgive and forget, folks. Just like you can't wish away a broken leg, you can't wish away a broken heart. Only by choosing to forgive will healing happen. Thirdly, forgiveness is not thinking that time or space, you know, distance will heal the hurt. Doesn't matter if you wait 100 years or move 100 miles away. If you don't choose to forgive, you're allowing what they did to continue to hurt you. So, three things. It's not what forgiveness is about. Now let's look at what forgiveness actually is. First, it's costly. It's costly. I'm not denying it. That's just the reality, okay? It costs Jesus his life to forgive you. And it's going to cost you something to forgive someone else. It'll cost you the right to get back at them. But the rewards of forgiveness far outweigh the cost. Think about it. You'll have peace of mind, joy, freedom, no regret. Those are all way more valuable to your well-being than bitterness or anxiety or anxiousness or vengeance. Forgiveness is costly, but the rewards are greater. Secondly, forgiveness is charitable. What do I mean by that? It means it's undeserved. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Forgiveness is not about justice being done. It's about you being free from the burden of judgment. Thirdly, forgiveness is complete. It's final. When you forgive someone, it's like turning the page in a book. You don't go back and reread that. You're on the next chapter of your life and you move on. Okay? Don't go back. You eagerly start looking forward to what's ahead in your life. Remember that good future? Yeah, that's what he has planned. When we forgive, we can step into that. You know, some people look at forgiveness as freeing the guilty from justice. But it's not. It's really about freeing you from being a victim. Continuing to be a victim. And allowing you to become a bigger, better, more mature person. So the final thing we need to grow a thick skin and a soft heart is to learn to offer the benefit of the doubt. Offer the benefit of the doubt. Remember what we looked back earlier on? Jesus said at the beginning of this talk, he said, live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. I like one of the definitions Merriam-Webster gives to the word gracious. It says, a generosity of spirit. I like that, a generosity of spirit. That says to me that graciousness is thinking better of the person than they probably deserve, right? It's being considerate of those who behave or think differently than me. Or differently than maybe I would want them to behave or think. I've discovered that when someone treats me unkindly, there's usually a reason behind it. Sometimes it was me, right? The way I acted or something I said caused them to lash back. Sometimes it had absolutely nothing to do with me. It was something someone else said or did to them that had hurt them, and now they're lashing out at whoever is nearby, acting out of the hurt that they've experienced. Reality is, folks, we don't know what people are going through. We really don't. What wounds are affecting how they're treating us. Now, I'm not making excuses for the way they may treat you. I'm just saying not to stoop to their level, okay? Just because they do or say something that's hurt you, it's hurtful to you, it doesn't give you license to do or say something hurtful back. God calls us to take a higher road. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, did he hurl insults at those that insulted him? No. Did he drop a lightning bolt on those who nailed him to the cross? No. But what do we read? Jesus said, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're hurt. Their dashed hopes, their unmet expectations, their unforgiveness has blinded them and hardened their hearts, made them ignorant of who Jesus really was. Paul said it like this, the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. Hurts, offenses, often come when one party or the other don't have all the facts. We don't know the facts. We don't know what's going on, right? I remember on one occasion when I was way back when I was a youth pastor where this happened to me. The parents of one of my youth group members tried to get me fired because their teenage daughter had been left behind in a park when the youth group after the youth group had been there for an activity. We had to drive, they had to drive there, come back. The thing is, I wasn't even there. I was actually out of town. We may have been vacationing. I can't remember why I was out of town. But somebody else was running the group. Yet the process, so they didn't know that I was away. They didn't even bother to find out. They just, get rid of this guy. He left our daughter in the park, you know, at the lake. Yet that process was quite difficult and hurtful to me. Reality is stuff happens, right? People make mistakes. People jump to conclusions. People don't offer the benefit of the doubt. Hurts and offenses will come. My hope, my prayer is that when they do, my character and your character are such that those hurts have absolutely no bearing on how we treat those people, how we treat others, but that we continue to show the same grace and love that God has shown to us. And if you're here today and you've got maybe some hurts from the past that still haunt you, or maybe your heart has become hardened from unforgiveness, and you just want to be able to feel again and trust again, well, I know someone who's both willing and able to help you. His name is Jesus. And he is able to set you free, to heal your hurts from your past. And even more so, he's willing to forgive you for your how you've hurt him, your sins against him that keep you from having a relationship with him. Because he wants that. He's laid down his life so you could be with him. Amazing. Yet, I keep using the word sin. Some you may not know what that means. It simply means missing the mark of God's best for you. If you narrow it right down, that's what it means. You have missed the mark of what God says it's the best way for you to live your life. So when we fall short of what God says is the best for us, we get a stain on our soul that can only be removed by Jesus' forgiveness. Remember John's words earlier that we read? God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. That's our God. That's who he is. So we sang, this is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. If you're ready to do just that today, then I want to invite you to pray along with me in just a minute. But before we do that, I'd ask you, could everybody just bow our heads, please? Close our eyes. Thank you. If you've been listening today and you want to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and you want to start following him, you're ready to do that as we pray together, could you simply let me know who I'm praying for by quickly just raising your hand or looking up at me? Thank you. Now, just simply pray along with me silently in your heart. Dear God, I admit I have not been living completely for you. I haven't been living for you at all, really. And I've been doing things my own way and not really giving you much thought. I'm sorry for that, God. I now know that you only want the very best for me. So please forgive me. Make me right with you today. I believe that Jesus came to earth to die for me and restore my relationship with you. So I ask him to be the leader of my life from this moment on. Thank you for saving me and making me a part of your forever family. I ask that you'd please help me to grow in my character so that I can reflect more of your character in my life. God, please help me to overlook offenses. Fill me with your spirit so they don't bother me like they used to. Help me to keep short accounts, learn how to forgive and how and experience the freedom that forgiveness gives me when I forgive someone else. Please help me to give folks the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And Lord, please help me somehow in some way to share what you've done in my life today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as the band comes back, I want to invite them back up. If you prayed that simple prayer from your heart, God heard you and forgave you, has forgiven you, and has an amazing future for you. But if you could just fill in the connect card in that seat in front of you, it helped me to identify who you are. And I do have some resources as well I'd love to share with you. And just come alongside, and if there's anything that you need or any other way that we can help you as a church, we'd love to do that. And so if you want to fill in one of those connect cards, either linked onto the video stream or in the seat in front of you, that'd be great. With that, I'm going to turn it back to Jason and to close our time together.